Good afternoon. My name is Volker Merz. I'm the CFO of Pro Group. With me on the line is Mr. Jürgen Heindl, CEO of Pro Group.
Hello, good afternoon.
We're happy that you joined our conference call this afternoon on our fourth quarter results, and we start with a short look on the agenda. We have the highlights of the full year 2016 and the fourth quarter results. Here we have an overview of our financial performance, a summary and outlook, a short preview on the JH Holding and the group figures of JH Holding for today. On page four, we have the highlights, and overall, we saw a further strong performance. In 2016, we had a strong volume growth in our corrugated board business. As at 31st of December 2016, with 11.1% growth, and in the fourth quarter, almost the same figure with +10.9% compared to the same quarter last year. The integration between our containerboard and corrugated board businesses increased to 71% from the fourth quarter last year, 68%. If you include the swap agreements, the integration increased to 81% after 77% in the fourth quarter last year. We are now, this was approximately our target level for 2016. Our reported EBITDA reached an all-time high of 154.7 million in 2016, which is 1.2% up from our EBITDA in 2015. The very good result was based on our strong sales performance and the integration of the CHP plant. Some margin pressure and the unplanned extension of the maintenance shutdown of the CHP plant prevented an even better result. The EBITDA, adjusted for the unplanned maintenance shutdown extension of the CHP, would have amounted to 170.7 million. You could see where we ended up without the shutdown extension. Our free cash flow increased to 129.4 million as at 31st of December 2016, due to a strong cash generation. In 2015, we had 140 million adjusted for the CHP acquisition. We had an increase of 14.4% compared to the adjusted 2015 free cash flow. We saw partial early redemption of 75 million in 2016 of the floating rate notes, which was a result of our strong cash conversion. Our net financial debt decreased to 421.4 million, which implies 2.5 times LTM adjusted EBITDA. Let's move forward to page six. The financial performance in a quarterly view, and the total containerboard sales showed a slight increase to 259,000 tons compared to the fourth quarter 2015, which was 256,000 tons. However, the sales volume was limited by a lower production volume due to the maintenance shutdown of the PM1 in the fourth quarter. The integration level in the fourth quarter of 71% or 81% if we add the swap volumes, we are approximately on the same level as the entire year 2016. This was, as mentioned before, the target range of integration for 2016. On page seven, you see the strong corrugated board volume growth of approximately 11% in the fourth quarter versus the same quarter last year. Compared to the third quarter, we saw slight volume growth of 0.9% in Q4 2016. On page eight, you can see the quarterly sales development. Sales basically follow the sales volume of corrugated board with a growth rate of 1.3% in the fourth quarter versus the fourth quarter 2015. If we compare the entire year sales, 2016 with the entire year 2015, we had a sales increase of 6.3%, mainly resulted from a strong volume increase in corrugated board. On page 9, we see the comparison in more detail of the sales development from the fourth quarter 2015 to the fourth quarter 2016. And the corrugated board volume effect of plus 15.2 million resulted from sales volume growth of 23,000 tons. We had a negative volume effect at our container board business of minus 2.6 million, which resulted from lower external sales, which was a result of the higher internal sales of container board. The total price effect of minus 16.1 million includes a negative price effect of minus 13.3 million at our corrugated business and minus 2.8 at our container board business. Other sales contributed with 5.7 million in other sales. On page 10, we present a sales bridge from the third quarter 2016 to the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter sales were slightly below the third quarter with a reduction of 0.7% or minus 1.2 million. The corrugated board volume contributed with plus 1.3 million based on a volume increase of approximately 2,000 tons. The container board volume was 2,000 tons below the third quarter volume sales with an effect of minus 1.0 million. Euro. The price effect of minus 3.2 million euro is a result of the lower corrugated board prices and no significant price movement in external containerboard sales. Other sales were up by 1.7 million compared to the third quarter. On page 11, we show the EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. Please note that the third and fourth quarter 2016 figures were adjusted for the effects from the unplanned shutdown extensions, and the adjusted EBITDA in the fourth quarter 2016 amounted to 43.5 million, which is an increase of 33.5% compared to the third quarter 2016, and the adjusted EBITDA margin normalized to 24.3%. The main reasons for the increase of the adjusted fourth quarter EBITDA margin compared to the third quarter were lower energy costs and lower fixed costs. On the long-term development of our EBITDA margin on page 12, you can see that we are now again above the three-year average. As I mentioned before, we had a normalization of our EBITDA margin compared to the third quarter. And after we normalized the extended maintenance shutdown, you can see that we are back on track with our earnings. And despite the margin pressure, which we had also in the fourth quarter, we still delivered a very good results at the year end 2016. Looking at the free cash flow on page 13, you see a significantly higher free cash flow in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter 2015. Even if we adjust the effect from the CHP acquisition, we had an increase of 112%. And compared to the third quarter 2016, we are slightly lower due to our outflow for the new project TW10 in Poland. On page 14, you see the development of the net financial debt and net leverage. With our net financial debt of 421.4 million, we calculated a net leverage of 2.5 based on the LTM adjusted EBITDA, which is a very, very good level. We readjusted and recalculated the net leverage for the third quarter based on the adjusted EBITDA as well, which was the same figure. As you can see, since we acquired the CHP, we strongly delevered from 3.4 at the year end 2015 to 2.5 one year later. Page 15, you show the quarterly development of the working capital. As at 31st of December 2016, we saw a significant decrease in working capital, driven by a seasonal reduction, also cut-off effects at year-end, and higher trade payables related to our project PW10. Adjusted for the effect of PW10, our working capital as a percentage of sales would have been 12% instead of the nominal 10% shown on the slide. Then we move on to page 17 to the summary of our 2016 results. Overall, we saw a very positive performance as at 31st of December 2016 with significant growth of sales and EBITDA, especially when we look at the adjusted EBITDA which we presented before. Looking ahead, we expect some further pressure on gross margins in the short-term view, and we also want to point out that our new Growell plant in Poland commenced operation at the end of January. And it's still in trial production process, but we had the first corrugated sheets produced by the end of January, and now we try to ramp up in the next couple of days and weeks. On the positive side, we saw some price increases on container board in February of plus 40 euros per ton, and we also had some announcement for an additional increase at the beginning of March, which might be 20 euro, but we are not quite sure about the figure. We'll see how it will develop. But altogether, we see a very narrow market in containerboard. The EBITDA margin for the entire financial year will strongly depend on the final outcome of the containerboard price increase and how it can be transferred into corrugated board prices. Before we continue with the presentation on JH Holding, are there any questions on the ProProof figures?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. We have a question from Richard Fellin of Deutsche Bank. Richard, please go ahead.
Yeah, two questions, if I might. Just the first question regarding the maintenance shutdown. The implied adjustments between the reported and adjusted EBITDA is about 9.9 million euros during the quarter, which appears to be the impact for the unplanned outage. What assurances do you have at this stage, now that the maintenance is complete from mid-November, that a similar sort of incident doesn't happen, and when is the next planned shutdown for CHP? That's the first question.
It was a proactive decision to extend the shutdown. We wanted to make the power plant to come to a more forward-looking maintenance strategy. Therefore, we decided actively to extend the shutdown to make more than absolutely necessary. And therefore, we are quite confident that we increase the runnability of the power plant and improve the overall performance in the future. And normally, we have one major shutdown per year. So the next major shutdown of the CHP is expected for the third quarter 2017.
Okay. And so the proactive efforts that you've taken now, you think will keep that shutdown in Q3 2017 to a sort of normalized schedule based on what you know now. That's fair.
Right. We don't expect a much longer shutdown than normal. In general, we plan with about 6 weeks per year of maintenance shutdown. You're never sure that there can't be 1 or 2 weeks longer, but we don't expect such an extended shutdown as we saw this year.
Okay. And then the second question, just related to your comments on the outlook. You mentioned that you expect some gross margin pressure in the short term, and certainly at one of your competitor investor days recently, they were talking about a surge in container board prices. A surge was the exact word they used, you know, in the beginning of this year, and potential inability to pass that through depending upon where prices end up. So I guess, do you think that there's any likelihood that pass-through is less effective as we go through the year?
I mean, the margin pressure, especially for the first quarter, we saw some price reductions at the end of the year, and which we still have in the first quarter before the price increase in the container board. I mean, for our business, it's more important that we have a corrugated board price increase, so it will strongly depend whether we are able to pass on the container board price to the corrugated side, and therefore our profitability for the year will be strongly dependent if it is successful and in what amount will it be successful to implement the corrugated board side.
Anyway, positively, we see a strong market in corrugated board, even beginning of this year, and a tight container board market. So I think we can have a positive outlook.
Okay. And obviously, you had a good Q1 last year, both in terms of the nominal EBITDA and the margin performance. So for comparative purposes, do you think that that gross margin pressure is, you know, can be offset through the quarter, or is it possible that extends into a potentially weaker EBITDA?
I mean, if you look at our long-term EBITDA margin development, the margins we saw in the beginning, in the fourth quarter 2015 and the first quarter 2016, were exceptionally high, which
is
not the level we normally expect. This is rather level you see at Apple or something, high-tech companies. Or therefore, these are margins we were happy with, but this is not our level we normally expect it to be on a long-term perspective. Therefore,
understood. Okay. Message is very clear. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ashley Heatwell of Shankman Capital. Ashley, please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first is just looking at slide 15 in terms of your working capital development, realizing that you had some timing differential for payables in the fourth quarter, which was a benefit. Can we expect that to normalize in 2017? And in terms of timing, when would you expect that to occur, if it is during this year?
I mean, the timing is more than when we do our payment. Do it just right before the year end or the day afterwards. So we normally pay once a week. And then you can imagine that it has a major impact whether the payment day is just before the year end or the day afterwards. And this year it was just after the year end. Therefore, it's more or less a random figure in terms of the timing. But what was, as I mentioned, the effect from the increased payables due to the PW10, this is an effect you only have at the year end, and we won't see again during the course of 2017.
Right, thank you. And secondly, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but are you all expecting to continue to pay those PIK notes in the form of cash interest?
Do you mean the interest? Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. This is always our intention to have enough cash at the JH Holding level to pay the interest in cash. And we have a very strong performance on Pro Group, so I can't see any reason that we are not paying the interest in cash. And we always work the way that we have enough cash for the next interest payment, so I'm very confident that we'll do so in the future.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Brian Gaffney of EGIM. Brian, please go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just had a few questions, if you don't mind. Just going back to sort of current trading, in the context of there may be price increases coming through in February, March, obviously that's sequentially. Looking at the market prices sort of year-on-year, they're fairly significantly lower for containerboard. So presumably, would you be expecting sort of maybe H1 this year to sort of be similar to H2 of last year in the context of sort of margins getting compressed in that environment?
It depends on the capacity and on the demand and supply balance, but we are quite positive that the more or less tight market situation will last for another few months, let's say until third or even fourth quarter, because there's not so much capacity coming on stream during this year. So we do not see for the next few months a similar drop like in second quarter last year, for example.
Okay. And then just in terms of, I think it's been referenced just in terms of your Q1 performance last year and your margins being sort of so elevated. I mean, last year they were 27% in the quarter for EBITDA, and I think historically you've said your margins really sustainable is at 21%. So should we be thinking that sort of level of margin in 2017? Was there any guidance on sort of where you see ultimately margins settling down in the current environment?
I mean, if the outcome of the corrugated side can implement the full increase of the containerboard in their prices, it's a much more positive environment. And then if they fail to do so, or if there is some reduction on the containerboard side in the short term, for example, if the corrugated side is too reluctant to do stringent, very straightforward price increase, and then it comes Easter, we see some increasing stock levels on containerboard side, we see some rebates on the containerboard, and suddenly just have the half of the price increase on the corrugated side, it's another scenario. Therefore, it's rather difficult for us to say a precise figure at the moment. What we can say is that we have a really extraordinary first quarter 2016, and if you look at the second half of 2016 and you consider the adjusted EBITDA margins and you see that we have a major plant shutdown, the PM2 and the CHP in the third quarter, this is rather where we consider a normal level. But with a strong increase on the corrugated side, the average level can be exceeded. If it doesn't work out that way, then it's probably closer to the average.
Okay. And I just have a couple quick questions on cash flows. You mentioned the working capital there, just some sort of timing benefits. In terms of CapEx, I think in the previous call, guidance for FY16 CapEx was around 35 million, and it came in about 23 million. So should we expect that differential to fall due in FY17?
I mean, yes. Well, this is what led to the lower working capital. We had a CapEx, so we spent 33 million, but we had a cash outflow of 23 million, so the approximate 10 million, which are unpaid payables related to our new corrugated site in Poland. And this cash out is in the, we expect this cash out in the first quarter 2017.
Okay, so it's a CapEx payable. And then just final question, just on your cash taxes. I'm sort of conscious it's sort of fluctuating a little bit. This is in the cash flow. I see in the cash flow statement you paid 10 million. 2015 was at 17 million. Looking at your income statement, the amount payable's almost doubled in 2016. So I don't know if there's a timing difference there, but what sort of expectation should we have in terms of what your cash taxes would be on a sort of a, I don't know, 150 million EBITDA business?
I mean, the in the past we had also some cash loss carry forwards, which led to some influence on the actual cash tax payments, and had a tax review also at the end of this year, and therefore we expect some additional cash outs for from this point of view. But normally we calculate with 28 to 30% taxes, and looking forward, this is also most of it payable, and therefore if we look in the long run, we expect cash taxes at this amount, with a slightly higher figure for 2017 due to the result of the tax review at the end of 2016.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from Saul Casadio of M&G. Saul, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one. Given the strong operating cash flow, I was wondering if you can give us a guidance, a view about your capital allocation policy in 17 and 18 between CapEx, I don't know, dividends and net debt reduction. So just to have a sense how you're going to play your capital allocation policy.
We always carefully consider all options we have, as you are aware that we have the bonds still outstanding, but the redemption possibilities are limited at the moment, and we also have some interesting projects we can't talk at the moment about, but we're still in an advanced evaluation stage. Therefore, we could either use the cash flow if it's find it positive to make further redemptions or to use it for additional growth projects, but there's no decision at the moment which we finally took, and therefore I can't say much more at the moment.
Okay, but are you evaluating, let's say, projects in the order of 50 million plus or even higher?
I mean, we have besides the deleveraging, which is one of our goals, we also want to grow further, and we have strong volume growth in the past, and if we find a good project and a good growth opportunity, we could also consider an investment in CapEx in the dimension you just said. But if we do so, it's prudent finance and makes a lot of sense from our operational perspective. Therefore, we consider very carefully and also evaluate the option to use the cash to make further redemptions.
Okay. In terms of CapEx for this year, is it too early to give us a guidance?
I mean, without any additional CapEx for major projects, we expect cash out of say 25 million for smaller projects and maintenance CapEx.
But okay, and potential some upside in case you decide to go ahead so with a bigger project.
Exactly.
But okay.
No decision is at the moment. We have made no decisions at the moment on these potential projects.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question today comes from Simon Patterson of Barings. Simon, if you would like to go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. It was just around PW10. See, we've started operations there. Just wondering how quickly do you think you can get it fully ramped? And if you could just remind us of the capacity, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. We plan to fully utilize the capacity within, say, 3 years' time. This is our normal ramp up. There are minor steps afterwards as well. We always work to expand our capacity with additional efficiencies we want to develop and to lift. But normal ramp up is 3 years, and capacity is 110,000 tons per year.
Okay, brilliant, thank you.
As a reminder, that's star one to ask a question. We currently have no further questions on the phone lines.
Okay. So then let's continue the presentation of JH Holding. And on page 20, we have a brief overview regarding the fourth quarter 2016. And as you probably know, the JH Holding is the holding company and the majority shareholder of Pro Group. And the business performance is closely linked to Pro Group's performance. Therefore, we only present the major differences to Pro Group on the following page. Regarding the net debt, it was 540 million at the year end, compared to 333 million at the 31st December 2015. The leverage improved to 3.2 based on the adjusted EBITDA after 4.2 at the year end 2015. So we also see on these figures a strong deleveraging in the course of 2016. On page 22, you see the key operating figures and the differences between the Pro Group accounts and the JH Holding. And on sales, we have the delta of 42,000 euro results from the management fee which pays the JH Holding to Pro Group. The EBITDA delta is the sales delta plus other operating expenses at JH Holding level, especially legal and consulting fees, cost for auditing and accounting. The consolidated net income is the delta of the EBITDA plus the interest expenses of approximately 10.3 million at JH Holding level. The significantly positive delta in cash flows from operating activities results from a refund of capital gains taxes which were paid on dividends in 2015. So this the last slide I have for you. Do you have any further questions on the JH Holding figures?
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question. We currently have no further questions.
Okay, well then, thank you very much that you joined us this afternoon. And see you or hear you next time.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.